Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 17 of the Lose Weight, Create Life podcast. My name is Ryan Tomko, and today we're joined by a very special guest, Carrie Hokama. Carrie is a personal trainer, motivational speaker, and author of the book Own Yourself. Carrie brings a lot of great insight in through his journey into personal development, the money mindset, and just living a fuller, happier life. I really think Carrie's attitude towards life in general and overcoming obstacles is really something amazing, so be sure to listen in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share this episode with a friend, somebody you feel this message may be of good use to. With that, let's get into today's episode. Carrie, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so grateful for your time, and I'm so excited to dive in more about your story and kind of pick your brain more about everything you have to offer. So thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, absolutely, Ryan. I'm actually really excited to pick your brain, and I really appreciate the time that we have together. Absolutely.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. Carrie, for anybody that hasn't heard your story thus far, catch us up to speed, and because I know you have quite the interesting story as you grew up with your, you know, your childhood and with your father and stuff. I'm sure my audience would love to hear more about that and where you came from that got you to where you are now.
Yeah. Wow, Ryan, we are hitting it off going deep, huh? So
yes.
I love it, man. Yeah. You know, right now people will see me as an author, a speaker, a coach, and I have, you know, a lot of my messages on various platforms. And I can honestly tell you that, you know, we are what we make of our own stories. And so for many, many, many years, as I'm sure you can truly attest and say, oh, that resonates with me, Ryan, is that I was, and obviously you guys could insert your, you know, sayings in this, but I was the boy whose father never came back. And so growing up as an Asian American family, you know, we're supposed to be very steady and stable and thriving. And we were the exact opposite. So my parents come from missionary backgrounds. And so money was never, or wealth or success, that type of stuff was never really in our vocabulary. So we lived very poorly and meagerly. And for those reasons, you know, my family had to sort of break up due to a lack of money. And so when I was 10, my father had abruptly moved to Japan, and he promised me, you know, he is my superhero. He is the dad who taught me how to ride bikes and play sports and be an absolute competitor in life. And when he took off, he said, Carrie, I love you, but I got to leave. I'll be back in 1 year, I promise you. I just celebrated my 41st birthday, and my father is still in Japan. And so the amount of anger and resentment, the amount of insecurities that I had to grow up with, you know, really took a toll on how I projected my life and how I showed up in the world. And so for many, many years, as competitive and as confident I was on the exterior, really, I was operating like a second-class citizen. And it was, you know, I've done everything I could to try to be the next tycoon or mogul so I could provide for my family. At the end of the day, all I wanted to do, Ryan, was bring my family back together and say, Mom, Dad, you know, my sister, hey, let's live life together all over again. And so that's been my driving impetus to really go after the scariest of dreams, the overcoming the biggest fears, falling flat on my face many times, failing as much as I can, and still going. Because at the end of the day, Ryan, we live for relationships, we live for love, we live to experience that depth of what I believe we are created to be, is to serve each other, to love each other, and to experience the depths of what life's about. And I've been on that road ever since, man. So I always say this, Ryan, is that I'm 41 now, but I spent the first 33 years of my life trying to be this hotshot gazillionaire, you know, so I could prove my worth, until I realized that, you know what, I've had a vision at such a young age that I was going to be in front of so many people, because my passion is to serve and to lead others and to say, you know what, I exist to help others become champions, the greatest champions that this generation has ever seen. And ever since I had taken that road to serve others, to help, while, you know, serving ourselves, to be the greatest potential human being that we can possibly be is when I really started to tap into this magic, to this greatness that I feel like is even still at the beginning stages, Ryan.
I love that, man. And I love the mission statement basically throughout there. And where does that come from? Where does your desire to serve people, to help, like you said, create kings and queens, where does that come from? Were you inspired by somebody, or were your parents influential in that way? Where did that come from?
Yeah. So, you know, when I fell flat on my face, you know, my wife and I got married on the Oprah Winfrey Network, and they depicted my character as this villainous, greedy guy who spent all my money on my bachelor party, which is absolutely false. That was the last straw for me. I spent 8 years on stage as a lead singer of a rock band. And, you know, we got rejected label after label, saying that we weren't marketable, we weren't good enough. And so, you know, I was the boy whose father never came back. I was not good enough. You know, I was poor, all that kind of stuff. All those narratives turned into this angry man, right? Until 33, yeah. when I lost everything again after that show aired, and my wife and I were, as a married couple, living at my mom's house because we couldn't even afford rent. And I was always into personal development, but I had really attended my first workshop, this transformational experience, where my mentor, who's a great friend of mine now, his name is Hendre. And obviously I was that guy sitting in the back, arms crossed, just super jaded with people. And he started saying, hey, I want to introduce a character in the Bible named Samuel. And Samuel was a kingmaker, and he had spent his entire life building kings of his generation. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, it all makes sense now, because all this time I knew I was meant to be in front of so many people. And I thought that was going to be by me becoming the next, you know, Asian Bono or Tony Robbins or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Until I realized, you know what, all this passion, and in fact, the legacy of my grandparents as, like, say, missionaries who traveled the world serving other people, I'm here to carry that legacy as a kingmaker. So from that day, I saw myself as Samuel, that I was living the wrong perspective due to scarcity and due to fear and pains in my life, that I had to be this big giant to take over the world when I'm here to serve the world. And so even now as a coach, I don't have to be the best in the world, but I have to be the best for the world. Wow. And that's where that whole kingmaker came. But I don't want to just serve men. You know, I wanted to serve women, entrepreneurs, athletes, creatives, people who just want to take their life, their craft, and take it to the next level. And so, you know, I've kind of deviated from just a kingmaker moniker, but I'm also a queenmaker, and I'm a champion builder. And so I've literally spent the last 8 years just honing my craft as really someone that can inspire action and results just through tapping into your, you know, fullest potential. And so most of us, Ryan, and I'm sure you can truly understand where I'm coming from when I say this, is that a lot of us, through our narratives, through our stories, have been living in a prison cell with the doors wide open.
Yeah.
And living in our own head, right? And yes, we have external circumstances that bring us pain. You lost your mother recently. And it's through these narratives that can really allow us to reveal stuff. And so there's all these influencers and books and workshops that talk about secrets and stuff like that. I don't really believe that. I believe that the secret to life is whatever you can reveal, because whatever you can reveal, you can truly transform. That allows you to open up a new possibility of breakthroughs.
Absolutely. So circling back a little bit now, what led you to where you are now? What did you use to unlock where you're at now to help you reveal who you are now? So you started off, your father moved away, and then later on in life, you're depicted as this monster, like you said, and you get denied record labels and a rock group that you were putting a big investment into. What steps did you take after that to really help propel you to where you are now?
Yeah, it was as simple as changing the story. It's owning where you are and saying, all right, I am grateful to be where I am, but I'm just too good to stay here. I'm going to change my story. And as long as you can change your story, you can reveal what's possible. Because we are, if you think about it, Ryan, you're not really listening to me. And when you do your podcast, your listeners aren't really listening to you. What they're doing is they're listening to their own voices. So whatever you say to spark inspiration, motivation, whatever that comes out audibly, your listeners are still going to filter what you say in their own narratives and still act accordingly. So you can inspire and spark so much inspiration, but yet they could say like, wow, that was so cool. Ryan's great. You know, he lost so much weight and now living his life on his own terms. That's just not for me because, you know, look at my situation, right? And so once you can accept, once you could tap into mastering your own inner conversations, you could bring that out loud. So our work, Ryan, is for us to bring our listeners' voices out loud so that whatever they can reveal, they could transform. So it's tapping into our inner conversations, filtering out, okay, what is truth here? What am I lying about? What can I act on the truth starting today? And then from there, I'm really into writing out, you know, your manifestations, reading, writing out stuff, and really plugging in with not just a positive community, because positivity alone doesn't really get you that far, but people who help you take action immediately. Getting yourself surrounded. When you say, "Well, I want to be inspired," then go hang out with people who inspire you. Take that action to do that. I want to be a millionaire. Well, go hang out with millionaires. You may not even want to become a millionaire. You may just want to enjoy, you know, becoming the person in the process of becoming a millionaire. You never know. And so I started taking action, and that's really what it is, because the quicker you do that, the more self-aware you become. And now you have the key insights and takeaways and understand, okay, what my next steps are.
Yeah.
Being idle is the worst, Ryan.
Yeah. No, I could definitely agree with that, or, you know, relate to it, because like I had mentioned to you before, after my mom passed, I was in a deep dive for a little while. And I remember my narrative at the time was just, you know, I've seen so much now. And, you know, I was the one that found her, unfortunately. And this is my life now. I'm going to have to live with this. And, you know, this is my burden to bear alone. And it really wasn't until I started getting real with myself and getting honest and understanding what I wanted to do to honor her that I was able to come out of that and change my self-talk and really develop that towards who I am now and who I'm building to be. Now, Carrie, one of the biggest things that I know I talk about a lot is self-talk, and I know you just kind of mentioned it as well. What do you do in instances where you have a moment come up that either you failed or something, or something didn't go to your the way you had imagined it, and you have this moment and you're kind of beating yourself up? Do you have any practices that you go through, any, you know, a certain script, a certain line that you go through to get yourself back on track? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's real simple. You know, I stopped. Yeah, okay, so we are all on a platform where I believe we're going to always look at motivational content. We're going to go on YouTube. We're going to start following all these social media influencers and saying, oh, well, Gary Vee, that was awesome. Wow. Mel Robbins, that was awesome. And we get stuck and we start losing our own voice, right? And then I went through a stage where I, for the first time in my life, experienced extreme darkness, where I would wake up in the morning and say, like, I don't even have what it takes to go tackle the world right now. And I would find myself, this was not too long ago as well. When you start to take into so many messages from everybody, then you lose your own voice. And what happens is you start to devalue yourself. And so your mission, Ryan, your mission is clear now. My mission was clear. But our mission and our purpose is really just an external play on what our highest values are, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it really is, I want freedom, and for my family to experience that. And so that is my deep, deep reason why I do things, because if your reasons aren't big enough, then all of your excuses will be, right? So I always think about the love I have for my mom, who sacrificed all these years to work, you know, to work a handful of jobs to take care of my mom. I'm sorry, my sister and I. I still think about my dad, and despite the anger that I felt towards him, now I see him as an older guy in his 70s, living in a small room by himself in Japan. I just can't think of how lonely that must feel every single day. And I think, gosh, man, I want to work so hard. I want to serve as many people as I can so that I can bring them back, and that my wife and I could go and create all these beautiful communities of personal development and entrepreneurship all around the world. And once I see that, once I think about that, I always remind myself, now that is why I have to go and serve more people. And so, Ryan, one of the biggest things that came to me these past couple years was to really understand what money is, right? And keep in mind that I come from a ministry background, so money was never a high priority. I used to think, oh, the Lord will provide and all that kind of stuff. And I realized that didn't really work either, right? And so I wanted to ask you, so we have to be truly clear, have clarity. Clarity is power. Clarity is king. That way, now you know exactly why you wake up every single day, and it is of no effort, little to no effort, to have to do what you got to do in order to get to point B. You know what I'm saying? So that clarity part of it is, as entrepreneurs, as people living on earth, we have to earn money to survive and to take it to the next level. And one thing that's just been, I've been wanting to share, was that, what is money? And if I were to ask you, Ryan, and then you were to go and take a poll with your listeners, what is money? You're going to get 20 different answers.
Right.
Right. Some people say money is the root of all evil. Some will say money is just a currency. Some will say money is energy. And you're like, what? Like, I'm confused. I'm confused. Yeah. Like, so if you're going to go and do that and talk to a 10-year-old child, they're going to be unclear as well.
Yeah.
I was super unclear about what money was. Like, that was a taboo to talk about growing up, right?
Right.
And so you're absolutely crystal clear. And so why you and I on this podcast called Lose Weight and Create Life, we're talking about money, is so that we have a clear understanding of what that is. And if you don't mind, I'd like to share. Is that okay, Ryan?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So people talk about, okay, well, what is money, right? Money is an idea that is backed by confidence. So money is an idea backed by confidence, because Ryan, we can all argue that at one point in our lives that there is no such thing as money, right? We would always have to exchange like my goat milk for your cotton, and I'd have to go, exchange my fish for their leather or whatever, right?
Right.
And even in the last 10 years, you know, no one knew what cryptocurrency was until recently.
Right.
Right. Now people accept money via bitcoins. It was unheard of. So really what that is it's an idea that was backed by confidence. And so you talked about serving others first. I am huge on that. And so I want to link this all together so that we have a clear understanding of what money is. So money is a byproduct of adding value. Okay. Money is a byproduct of finding solutions for people via, whether it's direct or indirect.
Right.
And so if you think about, and I share this on my most recent talk on the Think and Grow Rich Tour, is that Brian Chesky, do you know who Brian Chesky is, Ryan?
I'm not familiar, no.
Okay. So this is great. I'm glad you don't know. So 12 years ago, he was a 25-year-old recent graduate, and he was an industrial designer. He and his roommate couldn't afford to pay rent. They didn't even have money to pay rent. All right, so they came up with an idea. It was in San Francisco, and the Industrial Designers of America was having a national conference. And because they had all these other conferences, no one could book any hotel rooms. And so what he did was he placed an ad within that conference, said, hey, we are opening up our place. We bought three new air mattresses and will provide breakfast in the morning. And that's how they immediately found their first three clients.
Okay.
Okay. So now they went with this idea They kept doing it, expanding it. It's an idea, expanding it, a place from pain, right? They didn't even have money to afford rent. Okay, so now they kept doing this, expanded, and during the presidential campaign, 2008, Obama was running for presidency, and so they came up with this this cereal called Obama O's and Captain McCain's, right? These, okay. They did so well, they raised a lot of money, and it garnered the attention of a seed funding group called Y Combinator, which already was worth $20 billion at the time. Oh, and wow. And that's how Airbnb started.
Really?
Yeah. And they became, you know, Airbnb is now worth, I think the last time I checked, was worth like $30 billion. And that guy, Brian Chesky, is now worth $3.7 billion or something like that. Wow. So now he's a billionaire. And so what is money, right? Money is a byproduct of adding value. So a lot of people talk about, well, I got to go and create a life. That means I got to go make money. And the semantics alone in this, Ryan, is what changes our relationship to money forever, because you and I don't make money. There are only two types of people in this world who make money. It's the government and they're the crooks who make fake money. So you and I don't make money, right? We have money.
Yeah.
Right? And so the more people we serve, the more we do for others, the more value we add, the more money we have. And that's how we start creating a life that we truly say we want to live.
Yeah.
And once we have clarity over that, man, things start to turn. And you start forgetting what Gary Vee and Tony Robbins and all these people said, because now you're living in your true ethos, right? You're not living a counterfeit version of regurgitated words that everyone else has said, right? Because now you understand with crystal clarity what your life's mission is. Like, your mission is to serve others through your journey of weight loss and losing your mom and being able to come get up from that. When you're on an 8 to 9 count about to get knocked out, you stood up and said, all right, man, this is my journey. I'm going to lose weight and create life. And by you serving others, you're going to be able to create more and add more value. And the money will start coming in because all the service and the value you've added.
Right. Because I know there's going to be somebody out there who's listening along and going, yeah, well, that's great coming from a guy who does all these things and has money. But what about me? Like, Gary, I can't even fathom what clarity is or what my drive is, what my purpose is. I have to emulate Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, because who I am isn't good enough. What would you say to that person? Because I'm sure there's somebody out there listening thinking something similar to that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's always, there's not much that you or I could do, you know, with that, right? It really is. That person has to do some real soul searching, and it just takes time. And so I would really start. I would say grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, and start writing about yourself. You know what's crazy is that with all the stuff that I do, I still have 30 private clients that I train multiple days a week. And the other day, and multiple days in sequence, I like to just kind of like be fun with it, right? And so I would say, like, all right, so and so, right now we're gonna do 12 lunges up and back. You come back and you do your pull ups, and then for every single air squat that you do, I want you to name one affirmation, right? Mm-hmm. And so it comes to that point, and they start saying, they get to the air squats and they go down. I'm like, okay, come on. And they're completely stuck. So I'm like, let's go. Come on. I'm strong. Go down. Go down. They go down. I am strong. Okay. I'm loyal. I'm dedicated. Right. And then they fall. They just mimic what I say. And when it's their time, they can't say anything.
Right.
Right. And the another day, I was like, all right, you guys, right here, we're going to do your lunges. I'm going to push the sled up and back. And I want you to take either go run a lap, or you take 10 seconds to start affirming yourself, you know, for today. And then one girl goes, I'd rather just go run the lap then. Right.
Yeah.
So it really is. I don't have the one, you know, one size fit for all affirmation or any of that for anybody listening. If they want, they could, you know, feel free to email me and we could talk it out. Right. So that's what I would offer. But really just find the process of what it takes to fall in love with yourself again, to love your own life, and little things will happen from there. So Ryan, if I could go to the most micro of details, I still have my composition book in front of me. And in fact, I was doing it before you called. And my journey of king making and queen making and champion building started when I was 33, right? When I hit the reset button in my life. And I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but you talked about, well, I don't have money. Well, I had zero money. I was in debt. As a married man, I was living at my mom's house because we couldn't afford to pay rent. My wife decided that she was going to go all in, support our path in entrepreneurship and coaching and service. And so she went and got a job for $17 an hour part time. And from there, for the first 2 years, I was making zero money, but just serving the crap out of people as a personal trainer, as a realtor, and barely making any money. Third year is when I really just kind of started earning some money. And again, that was not much either, right? Yeah. And so you just got to, again, just know why you exist on this earth, to know why you do what you do every single day, because my reasons, my passion and this burning desire to retire my parents and to help others do the same, not retire their parents, but to experience, you know, freedom. And freedom, again, can be so generic. And I want us to be clear. Freedom is having the ability to decide who, what, when, where, why, and how on our terms.
Yeah.
Right. And usually, right. And from my research and all of my studies, and now I work with the founder and CEO of the Think and Grow Rich Institute. Even he said that in life, this is, you know, for the most part general, but we can truly just kind of like hone in on this theory that in life in general, people want two things. They want wealth and they want a peace of mind, but usually you can't really have a peace of mind without wealth, right? And that wealth is the ability to decide who, what, when, where, why, and how. On our terms, right? And that comes with financial. And so really financial freedom could mean so many things, but all it is just residual income exceeding expenses. So you don't have to be a multi-gazillionaire to be financially free. You just have to spend less than what you earn on a residual basis.
Yeah.
Right. And you can be financially free. Right. And so it's really the little steps. And I've taken, me being a Japanese American guy, you know, there's a term called Kaizen, Ryan. And I call my podcast audience the Kaizenites, because all we do is we're committed to just improving every single day. And that's it, because those little steps swing big doors. Right. So small hinges open big doors.
Yeah.
And so for anyone who's saying, well, I want, you know, I'm not like Gary. I listen to Gary Vee because I'm like a nobody right now. Start thinking, okay, well, I am somebody. You don't have to be Gary Vee or Oprah Winfrey, but you are somebody. And what does that mean? What does that look like to you today, right? If we could be Kaizen everything to improve, I always say, hey, listen to these three digits, 212. And it's, well, what's 212? I say, well, 212, at 211 degrees, water is really hot, right? Yeah. At 211 degrees, water gets really hot and it's hot and it starts to boil.
Yeah.
Now, when the water starts to boil, Ryan, what does it produce?
Produces bubbles.
Produces bubbles. And then the steam, right? So within that 1 degree, that steam gets produced, and that steam is powerful enough to push a locomotive. And sometimes all it takes is that 1 degree to make that powerful breakthrough. And so that's what Kaizen looks like. That's what Kaizen looks like. If you guys can fall in love with that process, then you know you're going to hit a breakthrough at some point in the near future. And when you do, that's the breakthrough. And then you go back to one and you fall in love with the journey. And that's what makes life beautiful.
Absolutely. And I really loved what you talked about when you first started talking about it, was the affirmations portion of it, because so many of us, and I know I'm very guilty of this, was when we first start off trying to quote unquote be somebody, we don't feel like we can say these affirmations because we don't feel like we're worthy of them, and we don't feel like we're worthy of being somebody. And that's such a big thing. I remember a buddy of mine, he, when I was at basically rock bottom, we were at dinner one day and he goes, "Ryan, just do yourself a favor. And when, every time you look in the mirror, just say, 'Ryan, I love you.'" And that was huge for me because I didn't believe it. And I had to really just sit there and look at myself, and I did it. Every single time I saw myself, I said, "I love you." And then that self-talk became a lot easier, and I was able to say better things, build myself up. But I think those affirmations that you were talking about are huge, and it's something that I've gotten a lot more serious about because it is just a momentum builder. It really just brings you to who you want to be rather than staying at where you are. It's so, yeah, so important, I think, especially in weight 100. Loss.
100%, man. So you said that you went up to 400 and came down to 325.
Yeah.
And see, I just want to commend you for that, man. You know, I am in that process of helping people, you know, in that process, right? And it really is some of the most rewarding experience to walk along people in that journey, because at the end of the day, you know, what progress is what brings us peace and happiness.
Absolutely.
It's the progress and the journey along with it, right? And so I always say this is that, you know, I've had the joy and I've been blessed to be able to speak to and work alongside people, at least what the external world would consider extremely successful. And so, I mean, when you talk to a guy who has 3 million subscribers, for example, on YouTube, that guy is already saying, "Well, why don't I have 10 million subscribers?"
Right.
Right. And so there's this thing called the hedonic treadmill where, and Ryan, like same here, like I always thought, wow. If I got this dude on my podcast, man, I'm set. Right.
Right.
And that day comes, and when you wake up the next morning, nothing has changed.
Right.
Right. Oh, if I get on this stage and wow, this I'm speaking on stages with these guys, man, that's game changer, right? And then you do that and you're on a high for the next 24 hours and you go home and you go to your 24-hour fitness and you're working out with people who are much better than you, and you go to jiu-jitsu, get your butt handed by people who are construction workers or engineers. Dude, it's like, wow. You know, so it really, there's no such thing as, when I get there, you know, there is none of that. It really... as cliche as it sounds, it's enjoying your personal unique journey and not wearing someone else's mask or costume. You know, Tim Story is a great leader out there, and I had the chance to talk to him, you know, face to face, and he's going to mentor me, and that's great. But I'm also understanding that, man, it's my life, right? This is my life, not his. He doesn't really know at the end of the day anything about me, nor does anyone else out there know anything about, you know, your inner demons and what you struggle with and what your uniqueness is as well. So it's understanding that there's a hedonic treadmill that we have to be truly conscious of, and that, man, this life that we have, there's a saying, YOLO, back like in, I don't know, maybe 5-10 years ago, YOLO was a huge thing, right? It's like you only live once. Yes. And so people went out, did a lot of partying or self-destructive behavior because right. You only live once. But that's not true. Like we only die once, and we live every single day. And so, man, there's a saying, I forget, you know, I'm going to botch this. I'm not going to say it, but really understanding that the present moment is a gift, man. That's the gift. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like the most important time in our lives, the most important time in our lives right now is my discussion with you.
I love that, man. Now, I'm really excited that you brought this up, actually, because I think it's one thing I've been saying a lot, and I kind of stole it from Brendan Burchard. Mm-hmm. is, you know, feeling every day and having something that you go to bed on thinking about or that you were excited about today. Like, how did you live today? And was today meaningful? Because I think when you own your day like that, you it's cliche because I'm thinking of Aubrey Marcus's book, Own the Day, Own Your Life.
Right.
But when you own the day, you own your happiness in that day, you really do can you just snowball. That momentum builds and you eventually own your life.
And so right.
Yeah, that day to day, and sometimes it's a struggle, but finding something to hang your hat on and to feel each day, I think is so important.
That's the most important, I would say. You know what I mean? So people say that this is a little bit of a downer, but I a part of just having this burning desire to you know, free up my parents, my family, and obviously serving others as a way to you know, have more money is really every single day that we wake up, Ryan, we have to understand that we're also getting one day closer to the day that we die.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think about all the time we have to sleep or, you know, get ready for things, how many hours truly do we have left on this earth? Right. And so as I'm in my 40s now, I hear of more and more people dying around me, people in my community, friends, obviously my friends' parents. And so death is such a touchy subject for me. That's like one of my greatest fears, right, is to lose a loved one as you truly experienced. And that's why I'm so grateful that you opened up, you know, your journey as well, Ryan. But man, it's I wake up and I'm so grateful and say, you know what, because I'm also death can be a reality at any moment. I'm going to just go out and kick some ass today.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I always again start, and this is super practical as own the day and all that kind of stuff. What people do oftentimes is they spend the first 30 minutes, even 10 minutes, to really start documenting and auditing what they're truly grateful for, right? Yeah. And then that could get monotonous and you could start saying the same things over and over, but if you can really spend that time going deeper within yourself, you can really find so many things that we're truly grateful for. Like the other day I'm grateful for planes, right? Planes, yeah. Because you have the ability to fly anywhere in the world in a matter of just watching a few movies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you think of things like that, you're just like, damn, am I lucky? Are we so blessed to be in a time where you and I are what do you call it? Time difference or our zones are different, right? But we're sharing our life message together. We've never met. Right. Yeah. And so to have that ability to go out and make that type of impact or to realize how grateful we are, all that does is it reveals again the more narratives that we can reveal, we could transform. And so once you see that, you're like, wow, I've been lying to myself this whole time that I wasn't enough or that I wasn't good enough about this. I am. And how can I do that and implement that today so that I have different results tomorrow? It's absolutely these types of narratives and conversations that you have within yourself. So I'm always talking to myself, Ryan, you know, whether it's in the car or whatnot, I'm talking, I'm enjoying it. When I'm listening to podcasts and stuff like that, I'm always talking to myself, affirming, wow, that is true. Okay, so what does that mean for me today? What can I do right now? Who can I call? You know, who do I need to say thank you to? Who do I need to apologize to? Who do I need to reach out and say, hey, you know what? I'm grateful that we went through what we went through. I would not be here with you today. And I'm sharing this because these are things that I do on a daily basis. And sure, that allows more opportunities for breakthroughs and more takeaways and insights for us to have better decision-making skills tomorrow, you know?
Absolutely. Now, along with your documenting all the things you're grateful for every day, what other kind of daily practices have you built up and developed over the years? Do you journal about other things? Do you have any other sort of daily must-dos in order to reaffirm yourself every day or to make sure, you know, you had a successful day? What kind of practices do you have, if any?
Yeah, most definitely. So I do what they call the 10-10-10s. I write down 10 things that I'm grateful for every single day. Not every, okay, so I'll be lying. Maybe 4 to 5 days out of the 7 days, I'll do that. And then when you get time, when you get to a place where you're like, man, I really can't really start thinking, I'm writing the same stuff over and over, then change it to just write 3 things that I'm grateful for that happened the last 24 hours.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just get real gritty with it. And you right. start to put a smile on your own face. Like, wow, you know, this guy partnered with me in jiu-jitsu and taught me this. I can definitely feel grateful for that and apply it, maybe teach someone else one day. It's all these little things that just come become aware, right? Yeah. And then I also write 10, again, affirmations and visualizations. So, for example, this just happened. That was very powerful. And whatever you can write down and document, you get to share on your own platform later on. So, for example, over 3 years ago, there's this company called Melon Brand, and they are the world's premier active lifestyle hats. And so they have hats that start from anywhere from $70 all the way to $1,200. They sponsor athletes like Aaron Rodgers and all the action sports figures, the greatest. And so I was like, you know what, man? I know the owners. We've worked together 10 years ago. I love this brand. I'm nowhere near the level of who these people sponsor and have ambassadors as. But over 3 years ago, I had written April of 2016. I said, I will become an ambassador and a sponsored individual personal brand by Melon, right? I completely forgot about it. Completely forgot that I had written that 3 years ago. And I want to say that in May or March or something like that, I get a voicemail from the founder of Melon Brown. And he's like, Carrie, man, hey, call me back. I feel like we have something that's highly in alignment. We want you to come to our office. And so I call him back. They invited me to their office and they said, man, Carrie, we've been watching you, dude. Like, you inspire us and we want you to be a part of our team. And so I had it filmed, documented, wow. and they put a Melon hat on my hat on me and said, hey, welcome to the family, Carrie Hokama. And I went back home and I tore through my garage, looked through all my, you know, journals, and I found that statement. So I was able to use that as a post, and I'll be sharing that when I speak on stage as well. So once you literally put the action of writing, you know, your thoughts, your visions, your desires, even all your pains, stuff that you struggle with onto paper, that's where like your sixth sense comes in. That's when like the ethos starts to work together, and there's no scientific proof of that. But if you listen and research from all the successful people, like all the magnets who have performed well and have prospered in life have all done similar things. And so I see it happening in my own life. Again, I went from a broke dude with a poor mentality to where I'm able to share my message on a global platform. And my wife and I are about to invest in our fifth company in the near term. Wow. So it's just been an amazing, amazing, amazing journey. And so I can honestly tell you, and keep in mind, man, I'm not a tall, handsome Caucasian man. I'm a 5'6" Japanese dude who had to overcome so much adversity and being underlooked. You know, I was always the underdog, you know what I mean? So, I really especially have a heart to those who have struggled, who have felt like they were the underdog, that they were misrepresented, that they were misunderstood. And so if any of you guys are feeling that way, I'm here to serve, man. Let me know how I can serve.
Absolutely. What an amazing story, Carrie. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, pleasure. I want to shift gears a little bit here. Now, Carrie, what got you into your personal training and jiu-jitsu practices? Where did that start, and you know, why were you so invested in it that got you to the point where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, you know, I had talked about my father and how he taught me how to play sports. I was super competitive, and I excelled in sports growing up. And it was in college that I was working a full-time job at Fox Sports as a highlight producer, and I was going to college full-time. That made me very It was a very sedentary lifestyle, and from I think I gained about 40 pounds of fat. And not too late after, I had carried all that weight, and my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she moved to Korea to teach English. And it was right before that I had torn my ACL, my meniscus at the same time playing basketball. And so, it was a dark period in my life where I was by myself and I was trying to rehab. I didn't have insurance, so I couldn't afford, you know, surgery. And so while my girlfriend was overseas, I just started spending time in the gym by myself, just rehabbing, started doing, you know, just kind of like easy calisthenics. And from that, went to weightlifting, and from that, finding a partner. And then eventually, you know, within a year or so, I created a community of going from like training with one person to two to four. And the next thing you know, I was leading group workouts inside the studio room that all, you know, most gyms provide, and doing circuit training. And I was leading, you know, these workouts 3-4 days a week. And so much so that like the managers will come in and kick us out because they think that I'm profiting off of this stuff, you know. And
yeah,
and I was like, no, man, we're just working out as a group, you know. This we're all pumped up and inspiring each other, and I sort of became like this leader. And from there, I started a simple church out of it that grew to 65 people. That lasted about 3 years of doing fitness. And really group community, people living in community and really helping each other out. And so that after we got married and things fell apart in business with my career, that's when I hit that reset button in my life when I was 33. I was talking about that Kingmaker thing, right?
Yeah.
And so it only made sense. Like, am I going to go work again? I said, no. I told my wife, babe, I'm going to do whatever it takes to build my own platform from here on out. And so that's why she went and got a job while I went and got my personal trainer certificate. So I became a certified holistic functional trainer, got my certificate as a nutritionist, as an executive coach. And then I got my realtor's license all within 18 months and really just started building business from there. And so that's how I got into fitness. And just ever since then, just been really hitting the ground and transforming lives. And my fitness is a little bit different in a sense that we're not out there trying to be bodybuilders or anything like that, but I've really developed a community. So I take pride in the fact that all of my clients all hang out on their own, you know, without me there. They've all gone out to become like really good friends, lifelong friends. And I take pleasure in that. And so now my wife, our passion is to do that through personal development, mindset, and fitness. Throughout the world in kind of like a mastermind form, if you will.
Right. You know,
and so that's how it all started, man. And I still train again, 30 private clients. Most of it are in semi-private group form.
Yeah.
So that we can continue to develop communities, you know, through this progress laced platform. And it's been so rewarding. So that's something that I just do out of love and passion. Like I don't try to get rich off of training people or anything like that. And jiu-jitsu is just another form of personal development. And it's really, I always go in now. I used to go thinking like, I'm going to go kick everyone's butt and be the fastest black belt. You know,
yeah.
that's like the mentality that people have until you get your ass handed to you. And it's very humbling. And then that's when you quickly realize, okay, what can I be? How can I be the best student going in today? How can I be the safest and most enjoyable partner to people I spar with? And most importantly, how do I allow others to grow in this process who are learning and who are new and who want to feel safe and enjoy this process as well? And so personal development is the number one thing, and you could only succeed as high as you take your personal development.
Absolutely. I love how I love the story, and I love the message. I love the passion behind it, Carrie. So thank you so much for sharing. And I especially love the fact that you do jiu-jitsu because it's something I've really always wanted to do. And right, it's one of those things that but that is something that is on the list. Like, I will get to do it one day. And I think it's so cool that you practice it regularly still. And just because I know the discipline behind it, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know it physically yet, but I know the commitment that takes. And it's really a testament to you, your character, and just what that process all takes. So kudos to you, man. That's incredible.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, if I could just share one thing, it's just, it's no longer about the belt or it's no longer about money or any of that. It really just comes out to, did I show up today?
Yeah.
You know, did I show up and was I present? And that applies really to all the stuff that you and I stand for.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, Kerry, I got one final question for you, and then, man, I could sit here and pick your brain all day, but I want to be conscious of.
No,
your
go
time.
Ahead, man. It's I'm all yeah. I'm here for you guys.
I appreciate that, man. So my last question for you is one that I ask everybody here. So, Kerry, imagine you're talking to somebody who's new to their fitness journey and just struggling with their life in general. And for whatever reason, you're only going to have a few minutes with this person. They're overweight. Their, you know, mindset is depleted to an extent. And for whatever reason, you're only able to give them three tips, three pieces of advice to help propel them forward, either with their mental health or, you know, their mindset, their physical body, their nutrition, whatever that may be. What do you think are your best three pieces of advice, either for either one of them, you know, fitness, nutrition, mindset, and you had three things to tell this person? What do you think you would share with this person?
That's a good question. And I'm not jumping at it just because I want to take more time in responding how I'd really say that.
Absolutely.
But I always say, don't listen to other people. You know, yeah, and find what you truly enjoy. So fitness may be swimming to you, not necessarily squatting two plates all the time.
Right.
You know, there's no such thing as beast mode. You know, you just show up and do what, you know what, if it's not, like I'd say, if it's not fun, don't do it. Find something until you find, you know, something that's really fun. And, you know, put your purpose into that. And so whether that's that's the mindset, because the mindset's the first thing. You have to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And so it's easy to go look at, I don't know, like a bodybuilder or a fitness woman who's sexy on Instagram and just copy their workouts with bands. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's so easy to do that. But if you're not really understanding why you're doing that, then it's going to be super short-lived. Right. You know, when people say, right, oh, just do if it fits your macros, or you could do keto, just because your favorite influencer is doing keto, oh, I got to do keto, that's going to be short-lived too. And so I would say, within your fitness goals, find what your purpose is in that, because again, your purpose is just the highest form of your highest values. And so, for example, I could only share my personal experience, but there's a girl who trains with me, and she goes there really to support, you know, her partner, who's like a gym rat, right? Uh-huh. And she always says, I come for social reasons. You know, she's a little bit overweight. She loves to eat. She loves to chat. And most people will be like, no, you got to be a beast. You got to do this. You got to cut this out, and start eating more of these. Drink this. Don't do this. Don't do that. And she'll go ahead and take inventory. She'll do whatever people tell her to do, but it's always short-lived, because people prescribe what worked for them. And they don't take into account their unique ability and their uniqueness of what that journey entails for them. And so what I told her was like, hey, you know, you keep saying that you enjoy the social aspect of it, right? You come because you like to be a part of people's lives and hear about them, and you do it for social reasons. You're here to support, right? So let's 10X that, you know, and if you don't mind me, It's not about the actual workout or how many reps or sets that we do. Let's 10x your level of joy. But in the meantime, hey, can you just trust me that you'll do all the workouts that I tell you? And then that mindset shifted. All right, so now she doesn't have a burden to have to lose 10 pounds by Christmas. You know, like her friends tell her that she has to do, or her mom has, you know, tells her that she has to look a certain way before her friend's wedding, you know. So right. it's really shifting that narrative. And so I know that is such an awkward answer, but really it's find your true purpose in what you're doing. So in your nutrition, the reason why I stay fit all year round is, dude, trust me, Ryan, I'm a foodie, right? I'm a huge foodie. Okay.
Yeah.
Like tonight we're going out to eat, bomb Italian food. Oh, and, man. But here's the thing. And so, because I know I love food so much, I know that Monday through Thursday night, I'm going to operate off of a system. I eat the same thing pretty much every single day, right? Until Friday night comes around. Saturday is going to be pretty loose. Sunday, I'll get back to it. And from Monday through Friday, I'm going to keep it real clean, right? And make it repetitive. It's almost like a system, you know? So it's creating, it's putting purpose into your lifestyle. So people say, well, why can't I find what my passion is? Well, put passion in what you do, and you'll eventually find it, right? And so I allowed myself, well, I'm not going to cut certain things out because I love it too much. I enjoy it too much. I love the community aspect of fellowship through breaking bread together. I'm not going to be the guy who brings my own whey protein shake to the restaurant. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to carry around a 1 gallon jug wherever I go.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not that dude. So knowing that, I know what my purpose is. Right. And so I work around that. I put passion into what I do. And so when I go into the gym, I'm not going to do 4 sets of 15 reps on every single thing. I'm going to go and say, man, I feel like doing this right now. Ooh, what if I combine it with this? And then I go into the gym and I go into the studio room. I walk around, do some movement practices. And so most people will look at my physique and not assume that I do what I do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's do whatever, you know, obviously makes sense. And the more you do it, it'll make more sense for you to start implementing what works best for you. And I know that could sound like a cop-out answer, but create a system around it, put passion into what you do so that you understand what your passion becomes. And from there, again, reach out to me or Ryan.
Carrie, please take the floor for a second. Tell us where we can interact with you more, what we can look forward to you, and what you have going on. Please have the floor for a minute.
Man, thank you. You know, I'm at that point now where really, like, I want to simplify. And that whole hedonic thing has been really big, Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, you think that you have this guy on your podcast, or you do this and your life's going to change. Like, that stuff is false. I truly enjoy doing stuff like this, Ryan. Like, every time I go to an event, every time I go to a conference, I look for just 1 to 2 amazing connections with people. I'm at a point where I could really sniff BS out of people right away. And right. I just enjoy living, going deeper. You know, the podcast that I released yesterday was the founder of the YouTube channel or the media company called Jubilee.
Yeah.
And our whole episode was on just living deeper. And whereas most people are saying you got to produce content left and right, or you got to reach out, send 100 DMs a day if you want to connect with people.
Right.
There's all that, just more. And I'm just saying, just go deep.
Yeah.
you know, and you'll find your purpose. You'll find your passion. You'll know what your mission is, because your highest values is just an expression of that. And to just go, how do you go deeper and deeper into your own life? I love the fact that my crowd, my tribe gets smaller, but more intimate. You know, Ryan, I sense that in you, man. Like, you are one guy that has the KLT effect, which is the know, like, and trustability. You know,
it's love
very,
that.
It's, yeah, it's very authentic. And don't buy into the hype of social media. I'll tell you right now is that I've been, you know, I've been around enough to really know the reputations of all these so-called social media influencers. And I've been sharing stages and podcasts and events with a lot of them. And I tell you, man, so many people are so broken, not only broken, but they're also broke. You know, yeah. they have to sell, like crazy just to make their rent for the next month. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I always decided I'll never become. And so like, so that's why I made the investments into companies and, just so that we can continue to live freely and live authentically. And when I start doing these masterminds and immersion retreats all around the world, there's no upselling or selling in that. It's literally invite only type of intimate, immersion retreats where the ROI are rich relationships, and possible joint ventures and collaborations amongst the people who are truly living, with self-worth and intentionality and with purpose. You know what I mean?
So, I love it, man.
For sure. I look forward to meeting you, man.
Absolutely. I may be coming to California in October this year. So if I do end up going, I will have to get in touch with you and we'll have to connect for sure. And
most definitely.
Gary, I don't think you plugged the name of your podcast. Please share with us the name of your podcast so we can listen in with you more.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Yeah. So you could connect with me. Instagram is probably where I'm active most. And okay. But whether it's Facebook or Instagram, I respond to everybody. So that's Carrie Does and Carrie Hokama on Facebook. And the name of my podcast is Own Yourself. That's three words, Own Yourself. That's also the name of my book. And yeah, so really, I look forward to hearing from you. I'm super accessible. Yeah, I'm here to really serve and add value, even if you just want a phone conversation. So that's what I'm here for, man. I got nothing to sell.
I love it, man.
I got nothing Carrie, to sell, yeah.
Carrie, I could tell from the moment that our buddy Jonathan connected us that you were going to be someone I was going to take a real liking to. And it really came true. And, dude, I can't thank you enough for your time today. And I'm sure people that are listening and anybody that's even hesitant to reach out to you, please do, because I know just in our interactions together thus far, Carrie's just a real straight up guy and very straightforward. And there's, like you said, there's no selling, and it's just like talking to a human rather than talking to, you know, a bot trying to sell you something on Instagram. So
Yeah. No, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate that. If I could also just mention one more thing it's so not sexy, but it's so worth it to not indulge in material things, you guys. You know, both my wife and I, we still till this day, we drive older cars, we have a small place, and we could spend all our money on these things, but really the joy is being able to give to people, blessing people just being able to say, hey, here, you know, I know you're struggled, and here's some of this, or to be able to invest in companies that you truly believe in, you know, if I could just and save your money, if I could say that, and again, I come from a poor place, you know, and that single-handedly has been the biggest game changer is to understand what true wealth is. And wealth does not only mean financial means. It's really a mindset thing. It's a freedom thing. It's the capabilities of blessing others, you know, with financial means. And that's what makes all the difference, because then you could create more value for your personal brand and you could add more value to other people. And so if I could say that, one thing is to not splurge on material stuff, but to be able, and one day you can obviously do that. And if it means a lot to you, then go for it. But don't get sucked into what you see on social media, man. That is a death trap.
It really is. And you get, it's just like a drug, man. You get hooked on it and you see some return on investment in a little bit and you start, you know, chasing the dragon, so to speak. And it's really is all, I mean, it's social media. It's all about the social aspect, I think, at least. Mm-hmm. And I love getting to reach out to people such as yourselves and just have an honest, genuine conversation. No BS, you know, all BS aside and no hard selling. I love it, man.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I loved our conversation a lot, Ryan. And so I know that you and I are going to be in contact, obviously, aside from this podcast interview. So I look forward to that, man. I look forward to getting to know you.
I appreciate it, man. Carrie, thank you again so much for joining me today. And to all those listening again, please listen back for Carrie's tags and everything and check him out and reach out to him because Carrie's awesome. get in touch.
Oh, man. Carrie, appreciate again, that.
Carrie, again, thank you. Thank you so much, man.
Much love to you, Ryan. Keep doing your thing, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
I really want to thank Carrie again for joining me on today's episode. And guys, this is one to really hone in on because Carrie brings so much insight in just personal development. And then I know, especially for me, I loved the aspects of money that Carrie brings to the table and just how we look at money and how we deal with not having enough money. It really is amazing. If you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to share this episode with a friend, somebody you feel this message may be of use to. And with that, please remember, you are worth your dreams.